Okay, thanks. This is pointing down, so I'm going to pull it up a little bit very gently. Good afternoon. This is the Design Commission. I'd like to begin by introducing first the Bureau of Development Services staff. Here today are Chris Caruso and Tim Herron. The members of the commission here today are myself, Gwen Milius, the chair, Commissioner Ben Kaiser, Commissioner Catherine Schultz, and Commissioner Jeff Simpson. I think we're expecting a few more. Commission members are private citizens appointed by the mayor to provide a review of new construction or remodeling of projects within designated design zones. We are not paid but serve entirely as volunteers. More detailed information regarding the purpose and function of the commission can be found in the Portland Zoning Code. Commission members must declare a conflict of interest, bias, or ex parte contact prior to the staff presentation of a particular case. If a commission member has a conflict of interest or bias, they are not allowed to participate in commission discussion or voting on that project. If a commission member has had an ex parte contact, they must declare the substance of it on record, and it is subject to rebuttal. Type 3 reviews, the following procedure is required. 1, public testimony can only address the applicable approval criteria or other criteria in the comprehensive plan or land use regulations, which the person believes apply to the decision. The applicable approval criteria are set forth in the Portland Zoning Code and are more specifically identified in the staff report. The staff will identify the applicable approval criteria as part of the staff report. 2, prior to the close of this hearing, any participant may request an opportunity to present additional evidence or testimony. If such a request is made, the commission will either grant a continuance or hold the record open to provide an opportunity to submit additional evidence and an opportunity to respond to that new evidence. 3, failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements of or evidence sufficient to afford the commission and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue precludes appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals based on that issue. 4, failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to give the commission an opportunity to respond to the issues precludes an action for damages in circuit court under Oregon Revised Statute 197.796. The commission's decision on this case is final unless appealed to the City Council within 14 days of the decision. If the decision is not appealed, it must be recorded with the Multnomah County Recorder. Specific instructions will be provided with the notice of the commission's action. This hearing is recorded, and all speakers need to sit at the front table and give their name and mailing address before speaking. The following procedures will be used for each case. 1, staff will show slides of the site and surrounding area and present a report which will include the applicant's proposal, identify the applicable approval criteria, and include information on letters received on the request, findings, and a recommendation on that request. 2, applicant will present their report. And in both cases, I'd say we've seen this case already and really just kind of reviewing what's new would be good. 3, public testimony will be received in favor of this proposal. 4, public testimony will be received in opposition to the proposal. 5, the applicant will then be given an opportunity to rebut testimony of opponents. 6, public testimony will be closed. 7, if any party requests an opportunity to submit additional evidence, the record will be held open 7 days to allow time to submit additional evidence. And the record will be held open an additional 7 days to allow parties to submit evidence responding to the new evidence. 8, after the record is closed to all other parties, the applicant will have an additional 7 days to submit final written arguments without additional evidence. 9, after the record is closed, all parties, commission members will discuss and vote on the request. 10, if the commission's decision amends or overturns the Bureau of Development Services staff report, the adoption of new or revised findings will be required. At the time of its decision, the commission will announce when the revised findings will be considered. No additional testimony will be taken, but interested parties may attend. And I should say, if there are people here who are interested in testifying as members of the public, there are yellow forms in the back of the room. Please fill them out and give them to Paige. It looks like there are a couple already. And I will announce this case, LU12-134885DZM, Stadium Fred Meyer Remodel and Expansion. Chris Caruso is our planner. Hi, Chris.
Good afternoon. Thank you. So this is a return hearing for the Stadium Fred Meyer. And I just wanted to briefly explain the documents that I dropped off at your seats today. These are showing the update to the Burnside frontage where there was an exit door from the parking garage that had to be put in per the building code, and these will be replacing the sheets that were in your previous packets, but you did receive 2 sheets in the packet that was sent to you a week ago that explained the location of that exit door, so this is not new material. This is just giving you some updated plans to look at today. So I do not have a PowerPoint presentation. I'm briefly going to go through the list of changes that were done between the first hearing and this hearing. The first one is that there were a significant number of bike racks added to all 3 street frontages. So because this is in the public right-of-way and not on private property, this is under the review of the Department of Transportation, and they will be giving their final approval for the exact locations of the bike racks on the three frontages, but that is basically the idea, that those will be provided. The building code exit door you've already seen, and that is coming from the parking garage, and it exits out on Burnside. And there have been revisions to the height of the storefront glazing along the Burnside frontage, and the sills were all dropped to 6 inches above the street in order to make up for the loss of that one pane of glass. There have more increases in the ground level and upper story window and spandrel glass areas on the east facade. There's a wider pedestrian and bicycle entry on the northeast corner of the building to allow people from that area of the neighborhood to discontinue using the vehicle ramps as an entry into the parking garage and use an entry. Additional light fixtures have been added below the canopies along that as well, and then the garage grills into the parking area are all being removed, and a railing system, sort of a cable railing system similar to what's being provided around the building itself, are being added into all those entries. And the 98-square-foot blade sign was reduced to 62 square feet, so it matches the other one. And the top of it was pulled down to actually meet the building standards. So the modification to signs is only now for signs that are greater than 30 square feet hanging over the right-of-way. And those are the changes, and I would invite the applicant to come up and do their presentation now, unless you have questions for me as well.
Any questions of Chris? No? Great. Thanks.
Test. Yeah, my name is Terry Krause. I'm a principal architect with Group McKenzie, 1515 Southeast Water Avenue, Suite 100, Portland, 97214. Thank you, commissioners, and thank you, Chris. As Chris said, we're here as a continuance from our prior hearing about a month ago, and we're going to focus on the changes and the items that the commission asked us to look at in more detail. So we'll just kind of take these one at a time. We're going to start with the east facade, and I'm going to kind of go through these. Sorry, we don't have a larger version of that. Let's see, where to put my laser pointer. So I'm going to just kind of take these one at a time and briefly describe these, and then we can look at other renderings in more detail. One of the points that was brought up in the last hearing was we had added some originally proposed last time additional storefront with spandrel glass in this area to help modulate this facade and address the look of the metal panels. In the last hearing, we were asked to work with Fred Meyer to see where we could actually put clear glass as opposed to spandrel glass. We sat down with Fred Meyer, and at the mezzanine level, this whole entire bay is clear glass. This entire bay is clear glass. And this entire bay is clear. So now the spandrel glass only occurs here and here and there. So out of the six areas that were originally proposed to be solid spandrel, three of those are now all clear glass. And they look into the demonstration kitchen area. These are actual kitchen spaces and work areas for the ground floor deli bakery. And then this is in the upper floor where there's meeting rooms. And these are just employee-only rooms, but they're we've opened those up as well. So we've been able to really add more actual windows into back-of-house spaces that were originally proposed last time to be solid. Some of the low-hanging fruit, as Catherine put it last time, was to drop these windows. We had this was low wall right here and higher windows, and we actually lowered these down to curb level. One thing that was asked of by the commission was to see if we could open up this area at all, and we worked with our structural engineer, and they're adamant that we cannot get rid of these shear walls because the floor plane is here. We have to tie into that slab, and we cannot work with the shear on that slab with the chevron brace frame. So we were not able to open these up, which is consistent with what we thought last time. But we did, as requested, look and see if that was a possibility. We did add the windows here, and before we had originally put in 4x4 windows, we talked to structural engineer to maximize the size of those windows, as Ben had requested, max them out. And the maximum opening we can put in is 6 foot vertical by 4 foot horizontal. Other than that, it triggers a seismic upgrade of the building if we make a larger opening in any one panel. So those are verified by our structural engineer and maximized along all the panels along that wall. If you go, we talked about the openings, and I we'll show some more detail on a couple extra slides, but we did enhance the northeast entry corner here, making it wider. We added a lighted sign that shows that that's an entry and a bicycle symbol there. We've got the bike gutter that comes down, which we're indicating, so that'll come down on the inside as well. So we've tried to make this more pedestrian-friendly and identify it for both people and bikes. And then as far as the opening's concerned, we're asked to get rid of the jail bars that are there now, and we were looking at different options for the screens, and we thought, one way to fill those in would be, and what we're proposing is to tie them in with the kind of the new, is we've got all the guardrails and handrails around the balconies and the terracing that are all the metal frame with the cable railing. So our thought was to not only tie the old with the new, but kind of the new with the old, and bring this same motif for these railings into these openings for the protection of those openings. So that's what we're proposing to do, and just making them a real visual tie to the new building and just clean it all up and make it look fresh and new. So that's what we're doing there. Can we go to the next slide? So as far as the east facade and the openings, that's what we've got proposed for those items. We did, as we're going through this process, we are proceeding and trying to move this whole process forward because we are on some tight deadlines just for Kroger and Fred Meyer. And one of the things that did come up in our review is needing another exit out of this garage, and we had to put it over here just based on grades because we're kind of bound by the higher level up here and not being able to get out. So we did modify a couple steps up and out. We made this tenant space smaller and tried to get this to be close to grade. So on the front of the building, this exit door is kind of right here, almost behind this column, but we've just got an exit door there that used to be a storefront into that tenant. And to do that, we had to modify the grades a little bit. So there used to be a solid here with a planter and an at-grade entrance to the sidewalk there, and we've kind of swapped them around. You come up here, you're at grade up here in this planter, and the retaining wall just extends over. So we just kind of reconfigured this a little bit. It's still at grade right at sidewalk level. You walk through, go up the stairs, or step down and go to the tenants behind those planters and wall. And to help mitigate that, to help mitigate that, we also, and to be consistent, we dropped this, also had a low brick wall along here as well, and we dropped all that down, increasing this storefront area because we lost that little bit there by the door, but also to help it just tie the look around that southeast corner to amp up the storefront. So that's a modification there. So that door really just pops out right here along that arcade. You just come up one or two steps up to this landing, that door pops out, you come back up a couple steps, this opens up at the sidewalk area there, and then up to this upper terrace. So it's really not a big impact on the terracing or anything, but it is a required exit out of the ground floor for basement level parking. So we've updated that. This, again, in plan, it occurs right there. The other thing we wanted to talk about on this slide is the bike parking. When we were talking last time, it had to do with we had originally asked for a modification to put all the short-term bike parking stalls in the parking garage, 24 of them. We were requested to put those or add some bike parking outside near the entries, but not to congest up this pedestrian plaza space. We did have a meeting with PDOT and got their buy-in to actually locate bike parking along all three frontages. And what we've got is a cluster of 8 stalls here, 4 right here, 4 right here, 4 right there, and eight more there, or six, I think that's six more there. And so we have a total of 26 stalls, short-term stalls, in the public right-of-way, clustered around the entries to the either the pedestrian or the tenant spaces here, this entry or that entry, and we are also leaving the other short-term stalls down in the garage. So we're actually doubling the short-term parking, 24 in the parking garage, as well as 26 at street level near the entries. As far as the signage goes, as Chris said, we were asked to look at the signage and look at trying to reduce the size of the signage, and so we did do that, and we, you know, it gets pretty subjective. On the main store sign that's on Burnside by the Burnside Fred Meyer entry, this sign was originally proposed to project up 3 feet higher than the parapet, and it was a sign that was 98 square feet. We've proposed to reduce the size of that sign to match the western entry sign, which is 62 square feet, so we reduced it by about a third. We also lowered it down so that the top of it is 6 inches above the parapet, which does meet the sign code. So we're not asking for a modification of height, just an area. So now it's just a little over twice the allowable area. The other, one of the other issues was the parking garage entry sign, and we got rid of the red arrow, kind of there used to be a red arrow sign that kind of pointed down, and it really increased the overall signage area because you had to take the box outside. So we've done that, and it not only does it look better and that arrow goes away, but it's reduced the size of that sign down to 56 square feet. We then added a sign. Oops, Becca. We then added the sign. This is the small lighted sign. It's only 3 square feet. This is the lighted entry sign with a bicycle symbol at the northeast pedestrian entry to the garage. So those are our proposed signage updates. And then at the last hearing, I believe it was Jane requested that we add a detailed landscape plan to the package showing the plantings and the species. So what we've done here is we've included this plan. It shows the plantings along the north property line, the new street trees all around the frontages and the planters, and then the different types of plantings that will be on the rooftop green roof. And that is the extent of the landscape for this project. And that's the end of our presentation, unless there's questions.
No questions? No?
Just one quick one.
Okay.
Thank you, Terry. Is that door leaving the parking garage onto Burnside just a steel flush panel door, or what is the...
That's our intent, yeah. It's if you look at the... Go back to the last plan. I wish we had a blow-up.
It doesn't
plan.
Show up in the perspective of in the upper right of the last slide, did it?
Yeah, unfortunately, those views, it actually does end up behind it. It is right here shown in elevation, and it's our, it needs to be a fire-rated exit, and so it is an enclosed... It's two or three steps up from the parking garage and enclosed fire-rated exit, and so we are proposed... It's going to be an empty space, and so we're really not... our intent is not to put a glass door on that just because we think it's going to be vandalized or it could be an issue, so our intent is that it is a metal door and a fire-rated door to...
So it'll, have panic hardware with an alarm? I mean, you don't want people coming out of the garage to go to that retail area, for instance?
Correct.
So it'll be... If you leave, it'll alarm.
Right. It's our intent, yeah, that it would only be an exit. Otherwise, we're going to have people camping out inside that rated corridor. So it's really not intended for public access. It's going to be fire rated with one-way exit with an alarm if somebody uses it, because otherwise there will be people camping out in that space.
Right.
So it is intended to be a secure exit. And honestly, the stair at the northeast corner technically is intended to... We're going to need to get an exception by code to make that not fire-rated.
No.
And if it's required, we'll have to put in a fire-rated exit adjacent to it.
With open.
It just seems kind of absurd to have a fire-rated exit when there's daylight right there and then to enclose it. But
exactly.
By code, that's what's required. So we're requesting a building official meeting. That's one thing we're going to request a modification on or some kind of an interpretation that, it's not providing any measure of safety. It's a non-combustible type 1 building, fully sprinkled.
Okay.
And daylight's, six steps up. So.
Great. That's all. Thanks.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. I have two cards from the public. I thought I would go ahead and do that real quick. So I have Walt McMoines. Sure. Oh, and Jill Long. Sure.
Hi, my name's Jill Long. I'm at 601 Southwest 2nd Avenue, Suite 2100, Portland, Oregon. I'm an attorney with Lane Powell, and I'm here on behalf of Walt McMoines, who's also one of my partners at Lane Powell. We were here before you last time for the first hearing, and we're really excited to be here and testify in support of the application. We think the changes that have been made have been really significant, have really spoken to the concerns of, you know, the property and the apartment dwellers across the street, and makes it a safer, more inviting pedestrian environment. And so we're very excited and happy to be here in support of the project. And I'll let Walt finish up.
Well, I really can't say much beyond what you just said. We're very happy with the responsiveness of Fred Meyer to our request and the support of the Design Commission. So having the new entry door on the northeast side facade, having the windows above and those tilt-up panels is really a boon. And the spandrel glass in the upper floors of the building on Burnside is going to be better. The improvement in the gratings on those openings will be better. So all in all, it's just going to make it a much more alive part of the building, and to the benefit of I think, Fred Meyer as well as the neighbors. So we're very supportive.
Other questions of our testifiers? Thank you so much for coming today. All right. So if there isn't a need for further discussion or other questions, I say we go ahead and get out there and make our vote. Anything else anyone wants to say before we do that? Okay. Well, Commissioner Kaiser, can I
Glenn,
say
you? Sorry. Tim says you have to close the record.
I have to close the record. Well, that's a little unusual. We usually don't do this so quickly. So if there is no further discussion about the project, I'm going to close the record. Is that okay? We can vote? All right, great. Let's go ahead and just take roll, unless you guys want to talk about what's been done here. Nope. Okay, let's do roll. I need a motion. Sorry. I'm trying to rush this thing through. Can someone move?
I make a motion to accept the staff report as written for approval.
Thank you.
I second it.
Great. All right, let's call roll.
Jeff Simpson?
Yes.
Catherine Schultz?
Yes.
Ben Kaiser?
Yes.
Lynn Miller?
Yes.
And David Keltner?
Yes.
Let the record state that Commissioner Keltner arrived during public testimony.
Process of you guys coming through, and we recently made a presentation to the City Council about kind of the state of the Design Commission, and at those presentations, it's discussed projects and the validity of the commission and the validity of the process and the successes and the not-so-successes of the Design Commission and the process with the City of Portland. And this, I would say, for next year's presentation, the City Council will be used as one of the examples of how fantastic the development was from the first iterations to this one that we're now is going to be built within the City of Portland. And that has great deal to do with you and Group McKenzie and all the work you did in that process, from integrating our comments and our thoughts and adding your own to get to this outcome, which I think is an enormous improvement over the first pass. So thank you very much for all that work.
Thank you, Commissioner Kaiser. I think that was an excellent summation of at least my feelings about the project. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.